The following is a Sunday Feast lecture on the Bhagavad Gita as it is. Chapter number 10, text number 9, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari. Recorded on January 1st, 2012, in Melbourne, Australia.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Machchata madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam katayantascha mam nityam tashyanti charamanti cha. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Purport. Pure devotees, whose characteristics are mentioned here, engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the qualities and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing Him with other devotees. In the preliminary stage of devotional service, they relish the transcendental pleasure from the service itself. And in the mature stage, they are actually situated in love of God. Once situated in that transcendental position, they can relish the highest perfection which is exhibited by the Lord in His abode. Lord Chaitanya likens transcendental devotional service to the sowing of a seed in the heart of the living entity. There are innumerable living entities traveling throughout the different planets of the universe, and out of them there are a few who are fortunate enough to meet a pure devotee and get the chance to understand devotional service. This devotional service is just like a seed, and if it is sown in the heart of a living entity, and if he goes on hearing and chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, that seed fructifies just as the seed of a tree fructifies with regular watering. The spiritual plant of devotional service gradually grows and grows until it penetrates the covering of the material universe and enters into the Brahma Jyoti refulgence in the spiritual sky. In the spiritual sky also, that plant grows more and more until it reaches the highest planet, which is called Goloka Vrindavan, the supreme planet of Krishna. Ultimately, the plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of Krishna and rests there. Gradually, as a plant grows fruits and flowers, that plant of devotional service also produces fruits, and the watering process in the form of chanting and hearing goes on. This plan of devotional service is fully described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhyalila, chapter 19. It is explained there that when the complete plant takes shelter under the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord, one becomes fully absorbed in love of God then he cannot live even for a moment without being in contact with the Supreme Lord, just as a fish cannot live without water. In such a state, the devotee actually attains the transcendental qualities in contact with the Supreme Lord. The Srimad Bhagavatam is also full of such narrations about the relationship between the Supreme Lord and his devotees. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees. As stated in the Bhagavatam itself, 12.13.18, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Malam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. In this narration, there is nothing about material activities, economic development, sense gratification, or liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam is the only narration in which the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord and his devotees is fully described. Thus, the realized souls in Krishna consciousness take continual pleasure in hearing such transcendental literatures, just as a young boy and girl take pleasure in association. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Ganakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Ragana Tanvita Sajiva Sadvaita Lavaduta Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha. You want to enjoy? Yeah? Krishna is giving the secrets how to always enjoy. You see, in this material world, we can enjoy by gratifying our senses. But that happiness is called rajasic happiness. It's very nectarian in the beginning, but it turns to poison. Rajasic happiness. But if you can enjoy any transcendental platform, that happiness becomes sweeter and sweeter and sweeter for all of eternity. So Krishna is describing Ramanti, and they enjoy in this verse. They talk about Krishna. The devotees are those persons who talk about Krishna. They think about him. They live in him. What does it mean to live in Krishna? You pitch a tent in his front yard, or what does it mean? Is it? It means you're always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And Krishna, then if you always are thinking of Krishna, then you are dwelling in Krishna. You're not dwelling in this material world. You're dwelling in Krishna. The next point, their lives are fully devoted to my service. So they're not just thinking about him, they're serving him also. That's a significant thing. I may say I love you and I'm always thinking wonderful thoughts about you, but then you need some help doing something and I neglect you. What is the quality of my love? You see? You say, my car won't start, I have to get to work, can you give me a jump start? Oh, forget it. I'm listening to some music right now, and I'm going to give you a jump start. You see, if you really love someone, then you'll do anything possible, any service necessary. You'll go beyond the call of duty. Just out of love, you want to serve them in so many ways. You see? So they're devoted to my service, he says. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Would anybody like to be spiritually enlightened? Well, this is the way. You just have to associate with devotees and hear and talk about Krishna. Automatically, you achieve spiritual enlightenment just by conversations. Can you imagine? You don't have to sit on a mountaintop in a lotus posture, you know, for 10,000 years and become enlightened. All you have to do is find the pure devotees of Krishna, and you have to talk, hear about Krishna, talk about Krishna with those devotees. And by the power, Krishna says, they enlighten one another. It's a wonderful experience. Krishna Katha is the most wonderful experience, because it doesn't matter if you're speaking or hearing, everybody gets equal benefit. You see? The hearer gets just as much benefit as the speaker. It's absolute. It simply depends on the quality of your speaking or hearing. That's all. The hearer could even get more benefit than the speaker if he's hearing with more devotion than the speaker is speaking. So it really just depends on your quality. What is the quality of your hearing? Are you tuned in? Or is your mind, you know, looping the loop around the Milky Way, coming around the North Pole, whatever? You see, are you tuned in? Well, if you do tune in, you're going to get turned on. Your spiritual nature, your enlightened spiritual nature, which has been sitting within you for millions and millions of births, the switch will flip and it'll come on. You realize, wow, I'm not this body. Wow, I'm an eternal spiritual being. I'm qualitatively one with God. This is not my home. This is simply, I got somehow stranded here along the way. My car broke down here. My karma broke down here. Karma broke down, and I'm stuck here somehow or other on the side of the road here, the material world. All you have to do is hear from the pure devotees, and you become revived. Your spiritual nature becomes revived. It's so wonderful. I always love this verse. Even when I've been in a movement for 40 years. I remember when I was a young brahmachari, you know, just, I had one brahmachari buddy, Bhavabhuti Prabhu. We both liked this verse. And we made a point, whenever we took prasadam, we would sit together and talk about Krishna. That was our little deal we made with each other. When we take prasadam, we will sit together and we will talk about Krishna. See, as soon as you talk about Krishna, that conversation elevates you into the transcendental world. You see? It actually elevates you. It liberates you from your body. It liberates you from all the suffering in this material existence simply by talking about Krishna. That's amazing that some person could have so much potency that just by talking about him you get liberated. Wow. Why is that? Because he's God? Yeah. He's the source of all existence. Everything is emanating from Krishna. Do you know why you exist? It's because your parents wanted to have a baby? No. That may explain your body coming out of the womb. But no, you exist as a spiritual entity eternally because God wanted to have you to associate with. If you can imagine that. Little old me? Creepy me? God would want to associate with me, but actually it's them. The Lord has an unlimited desire to enjoy, you see, and he has an unlimited capacity to enjoy also. So from himself he manifests an infinite number of living entities, so that with each and every one of them he can taste a specific rasa or relationship which is unique to that relationship with that individual soul. That is the power of God, the omnipotency of God. Even in this material world, I remember when I was a kid in school, we studied about the snowflakes. And we looked at pictures of snowflakes taken under a microscope, and they were so beautiful. And there was no two snowflakes the same. There are millions and billions and trillions and quadrillions, quintillions, sextillions, octillions, and zillions of snowflakes, and they're all unique. There's no two snowflakes in all the material worlds that are the same. So in the same way that the Lord can manifest unlimited snowflakes, he is manifested in unlimited number of living entities, but each and every one of them is most important to him. Not that, well, you're just standing in some big cube, you know. No. God is unlimited in his power. He can reciprocate with each and every one of his devotees as if they are the number one devotee. Every devotee he can reciprocate that with. What's the proof? Dwarka. Krishna, when he went to Dwarka, by some arrangement, he actually ended up marrying, he had quite a few wives, 16,108 wives to be precise. So how do you keep 16,108 wives happy? I mean, my God, how can you do that? It's hard enough. Even keeping one wife happy is hard enough in this world. But he was keeping 16,108 wives happy. How did he do that? When he came home from the, he would go to the, during the day, he would be one Krishna sitting in his position in some court, sitting on some throne. You see. In the evening, when he come home from work, and that evening commute in the chariot, he would expand himself into 16,108 Krishnas, and he would go to each and every palace. And every queen was thinking, how is it that I'm so fortunate that I'm the one that gets Krishna every night? Those other queens, I don't know how they can handle this, because Krishna's coming to my palace every night. You see? So just as Krishna reciprocated with each and every of these 16,108 queens, you see, as if she was the only queen, in the same way Krishna can treat you as the most special person in all of existence. But you have to treat him as the most special person in all of existence. You see? Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text number 11. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. So how much of a reward would you like from God? A few pennies? A few million dollars? How about God himself becoming your property? That's the ultimate reward. When God himself becomes your personal property, just like Krishna became the darling, chastised son of Mother Jasoda, she would raise her whipping stick and Krishna would run in fear of her whipping stick, you see. She became the controller of God by her love. He gave her that position. So, in the same way, you can become the controller of God. God is described as ajita, unconquerable. But Prabhupada says he becomes jita or conquered by his devotees' love. And I can tell you, we're all looking for love in this world. It's a fact. We look for a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a husband, a wife, a friend. Or if we can't handle it with people, we get a dog or a goldfish. We want some loving relationship. Everybody wants a loving relationship. It's our nature. But you know what? We're never fully satisfied with these loving relationships. Because actually we are meant, that loving relationship is meant to be with God. That's why. Until you come to the point of loving Krishna or God, you will never be satisfied. And as soon as you learn how to love Krishna or God, you become fully satisfied by giving your love to him. Now you become the perfect lover of everyone and everything, because when you feed your belly, does only your belly get nourished? No, your whole body is nourished when you feed your belly. When you water the root of the tree, are you only watering the root? No. That is the system for watering the entire tree. So when you love God, when you love Krishna, now you become the perfect lover of every living being throughout the totality of existence. Humans, animals, plants, even germs. You have perfect universal love for all creatures. And the reality is, psychologically, the more you love, the more you become happy. It's like someone who is very selfish, doesn't want to share or give love. What is he called? Miser. And how does the word miserable begin? With the same exact letters. Miser, M-I-S-E-R. And how do you spell miserable? M-I-S-E-R-A-B-L-E. So miser means, the way Prabhupada would say, miser means miserable. So the more you're a miser, the more you're selfish, the more you're miserable. The more you're selfless, the more you're a giving, loving, sharing, caring person, the more you become happy. That's a thing. So, if you're going to expand your love so you can expand your happiness, why not expand it to the ultimate degree? So I love my family. You see, that's a little bit of an expansion. Then I love my neighborhood. Or I love my Melbourne. Or my Victoria, you see, or my Australia, you see. I remember after 9/11, the Americans were pretty paranoid. And there was, I'm from there, so I was there. I remember the day when it happened. Actually, I was talking to some business associate on the phone, and she said, a plane just crashed in the Pentagon. And we turned on the TV, and we saw it was a lot more than just that, you see. But I remember there was a big billboard up near our house in the street that said, God bless America. You see? And I was thinking, why not everybody else? Why only America should be blessed, you see? Why not Australia or Germany, or, you know? Why only America? It's nice the American people are turning to God again, but they're turning in a very restricted, nationalistic way. God bless America, you see? Why not all living entities, you see? That's the vision of a Vaishnava. Svasti astu vishvashta kala prasidatam dayanta bhutani shivang mato daya manascha brajang majatam madhosha jay naveshitam mati rahapi hai chukhi. This is the prayer of Bhakta Prahlad. He says, let there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. May all living entities become pacified. Because if everybody engages in bhakti yoga, everybody will think of each other's welfare. He said, therefore, let us all engage in remembering the supreme transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna. Let's all engage in the service of Lord Sri Krishna and always remain absorbed in thoughts of Him. That's the platform of universal love. When you give your love to the source of existence, when you give your love to the, when you feed your belly or the water of the tree, then your feeding or your watering goes universally. So we're not saying neglect yourself, neglect your family. No, we're saying learn how to actually love yourself and love your family members. If you love them on the material plane, well, your love is imperfect, sir. Your love is imperfect. It won't satisfy you, nor will it satisfy them. But if you'll love them on the spiritual plane, which is the actual existence, the eternal existence of the soul, then you will derive unlimited satisfaction and they will become very, very satisfied. See, this is the kind of leadership we need in the world. We do not have this caliber of leaders right now. There is not one politician who's an enlightened soul on this planet right now. They're all materialistic people, power mongers. Therefore, the whole society is in chaos. We don't have one political leader anywhere in the world who's actually an enlightened being. Right? But we're meant to have enlightened leaders, you see. We're meant to have enlightened leaders. So, this institution, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, it is not a religious sect. It is not a place where you convert to a religion. Here we are teaching you the science of God, the science of the self. We want you to know who you actually are. No one actually told you that you're an eternal spiritual being, qualitatively one of the Supreme Person. You never understood it, at least you may have had some sentiment, but to scientifically understand the actual nature of the Atma and its relationship with the Supreme Atma, that education we are giving. We want that everyone should, they don't have to convert, they can remain Christian, Muslim, Jew, whatever they like. That's all right. But let everyone understand the science of the soul and its relationship with the Supreme Soul, Paramatma, Krishna. And let everyone know what is the actual technique for reviving that dormant, enlightened, pure loving consciousness, which is full of bliss, full of knowledge, never aging, never suffering in any way. That is by hearing and chanting the glories of God. So if you can understand this one point, that now you should absorb your life as much as possible in hearing and chanting about God or Krishna. If you can understand this one point and take this one point home today from this lecture, you're going to have a really good new year, I can tell you. You're going to have a great 2012. It will be the best year you ever had in your whole life. Just remember this one point. You should always be absorbed in hearing and chanting the glories of God and remembering the glories of God. You are not left out of such meditation because you're part of God. You're not left out. Well, I got to think about myself first. No, you don't. When you think about the Lord, you're automatically included. The more you think about Him, the more He blesses you, so you never become a loser. Even the demigods, many Indian people worship the demigods for material benedictions. Krishna is the supreme God, but there are many subordinate gods. In the Bible, they are called angels. There are demigods on the higher planets who manage the universal affairs. They are described in the Vedas also. Many people worship them also for material benedictions. But Srila Prabhupada explains in his Bhagavatam Purport that one who preaches this Krishna consciousness, he becomes a favorite of the demigods. He doesn't have to worship the demigod to get some boons. The demigods naturally are so pleased to see he's promoting love of God in this universe. They favor him and give him all benedictions. Anyone who takes up spreading the science of Krishna in this world becomes a favorite of the demigods. You don't have to worship them; they're going to worship you. Why worship? The demigods will worship you if you take up the propagation of Krishna consciousness. This is the ultimate welfare. So we have about 10 minutes. I wanted to stop at 6. We have 10 minutes left. And I got to ask now if there's any questions.
May I tell something about what you said, God bless America?
What about it?
America,
you have a question?
I don't have a question. I wanted to clarify what you say, because your question was, why is God not blessing the whole world and only Americans?
No, I mentioned God bless America, that the Americans, it was nice they were turning to God, but they were just thinking about themselves. God bless.
I wanted to explain me, because I wanted to say, what does it mean, America? The name, the word America means, has a mystical meaning.
And that means what?
Mystical meaning. Mystic, you know what is mystic?
I'm a little deaf, so.
And a knowledge. Mystic.
What is she saying? Can you help me understand?
America means something mystical. Is that what you're saying?
Has a mystical meaning.
America has a mystical meaning.
Oh, this is to them it doesn't mean that. To you it may mean, but that's. So any questions? I actually wanted questions at this time. I didn't want to have somebody else start giving a little talk now. This is for questions. Okay.
Initiation is important to go back to Krishna. What happens with a Muslim that chants Allah and they're not initiated through the Vaishnava tradition. Mm. What's their destination?
So, in the Vaishnava system, initiation is required. Because Krishna says, unless you're a devotee of my devotee, you're not my devotee. So does the same principle apply to someone who, a Muslim or a Christian? Actually, a Sufi Muslim just wrote me the other day, he's on my e-course, and he had a Sufi spiritual master. It's interesting. He had who's now departed. So since his master is gone, he's now taking me as a trainer, as an instructor. He's a Muslim, Sufi Muslim, and he actually had a Sufi Muslim spiritual master. But in the absence of his guru, he's approaching me now for guidance because his guru has departed from the womb. So the principle of having a realized soul to train you and guide you is a universal principle. Whether you call it initiation or baptism or whatever you call it, the same principle is there. You have to be born again. The Christians call it born again, baptism. It's the same principle. They dip you in the water and we sit you in front of a fire. It's the same principle of purification and rebirth. You see, that principle of being reborn in a spiritual life and accepting the guidance of an enlightened teacher is a universal principle, whether you're following Christianity, Islam, or Judaism, whatever it may be. You have to be born again and take the guidance of an enlightened spiritual being. That's it. Any other questions? Everybody satisfied? It's a question?
You talk about personal relationship, your personal relationship with the Krishna.
What is my personal relationship with Krishna?
In general, our personal relationship with Krishna.
Yes.
Yeah. So, is this called Swarupa?
Yes. Swarupa means form, Sva means your own. Sarupa means your original form that you have in the pastimes of the Lord in His spiritual abode. Every individual has a Sarupa, or a spiritual identity in the spiritual world. Sarupa Siddhi means when you actually revive that relationship. You once again enter into it. That's called Sarupa Siddhi. Prabhupada describes this in the introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. Sarupa Siddhi. So everyone has that. You can't guess what it is right now. To try to guess it is fruitless and it's counterproductive. Just take up serving Krishna under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. And then when you become completely pure, completely free of all material desires, then automatically you realize what is your swarup. That'll automatically be revealed to you when you become a pure devotee. You don't have to separately cultivate Sarupa enlightenment. It's a natural thing that happens when you come to the Asakti stage of Krishna consciousness. You realize what is your rasa with Krishna. It's a natural thing. This one of the stages described by Rupa Goswami. You don't have to go outside to some so-called Siddha Pranali guru who will tell you what your Sarupa is. Avoid these people, they're cheaters. One simply should faithfully serve the order of one's spiritual master and follow the system given by Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami knows what he's talking about. He's actually a gopi from Krishna's pastimes. He's Rupa Manjari in the pastimes of Krishna, one of Radharani's assistants. So when he talks about the science of bhakti and regaining your swarup, he's already in his swarup. You see, he's given this book, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. That same Rupa Manjari appeared here as Rupa Goswami. So Rupa Goswami gives us these teachings. He's in his Rupa already. He knows what he's talking about. And Prabhupada is simply presenting what Rupa Goswami is presenting. In this Hare Krishna movement, we are all Rupa Nugas. We are followers in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. So if you simply follow his instructions, chant 16, chant the mala, avoid the sinful activities, take shelter of Guru, give your life to serve in the order of spiritual master. In this way, you become purified more and more and more. When you come to a sakti, you realize what your sarup is. So, we've got time for one more quick question. Anybody have a question? Yes, sir.
We are trapped in the cycle of birth and death. So, I would like to know when we can get salvation and when we can get salvation, because we always turn around the birth and death cycle.
He said that we are in this birth and death cycle. How can we get out of this birth and
cycle? Yes, this is an excellent question. How can we get out of the cycle of birth and death? The way to get out of the cycle of birth and death is described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. You have Bhagavad Gita as it is at home? Look in chapter 18 and go home tonight and study text number 66 and make this your New Year's resolution. You see, Sarvadaman Paritraja Mamekang Sharanang Raja Ahang Tvang Sarvapapebhyo Mokshiyashami Mashuchaha. He says, abandon all other conceptions of duty, of all mundane conceptions of religion, and just surrender to me. He says, Mokshiyashami Sarvapapebhyo Mokshiyashami, I will deliver you from all of your karma. So if you simply will take the Bhagavad Gita, see what Krishna is saying, and you will surrender to following his instruction. This is a cookbook. How you can bake your consciousness and get a nice banana cake at the end. You see what I'm saying? If you want to make banana bread, you got to get a cookbook. If you invent your own recipe, what are you going to have? A bunch of goo in the bottom of the pan. You have to throw it away. Maybe the dog won't even want it, see? But if you will strictly follow the recipe in the cookbook, you're going to get some really nice banana bread you can offer to Krishna at the end. So here's a cookbook, so to speak. If you will follow the recipe, it's given by Krishna. This is a guidebook given by Krishna. Just like when you buy a car, it comes with an owner's manual. The human body comes with an owner's manual, Bhagavad Gita. You see? This is your owner's manual of how to be a human being, actually. How to realize, how to not be an animal, how to be a true human being, to awaken your God consciousness. That is human life. No God consciousness is animal life. Human being means awakened in God consciousness. That is human being. So you will follow the instructions given here in this book. You'll be awakened, sir. You won't take breath again. And I have further guidance available. Anybody who would like to get on, everyone can make a note if you have something to write it down. Or you can put it in your iPhone and a notepad or whatever you have. You go to www.backtohome.com. That's my e-course. You can get on my free e-course. You'll get something every day in your email to remind you about Krishna and help you go forward on your pathway. And you can also ask questions as well. So we have 13,000 subscribers in over 100 countries, and people are getting a lot of benefit. We have Christians, we have Muslims, we have all kinds of people taking advantage of this. The science of God, the universal science of God. So you can go to www.backtohome, backtohome.com and get and have a, and be set for a really auspicious 2012. Okay, our time is up, and now we have a very special treat. The ultimate experience. We've talked about it, now you're going to do it. This devotee is going to engage you all in chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. You're going to do transcendental meditation. This is not an exercise of the tongue, although the tongue is used. It's actually an awakening of the spiritual soul within. If you go deep into this mantra, you will have an amazing transcendental awakening experience right here, right now. Go deep into the mantra. Absorb your mind completely in the sound vibration. And this wonderful devotee here is going to guide you now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.